Please pray with me. Lord, open our understanding by the poser of the Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed, we may receive holy wisdom to understand the gifts you have bestowed upon us. We praise this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. It's in on page 688 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow that way. Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day to humble yourself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is it not the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of injustice and to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring forth quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing finger of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in all parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. It is so good to have such a wonderful group of people who love to sing praises to the Lord. And it is also good to have people who love to bring praises to the Lord. Thanks be to God for all of their gifts to us. Last week, I had some problems reading from the Common English Version of the Bible, because Matthew used the word happy, which didn't make sense. But this week I'm going to go back to it, and we're going to pick up where last week left off. So listen now to the words that Matthew has scribed about Jesus' life and Jesus' teaching. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Therefore, whoever ignores one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the legal experts and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. These are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, when I went to Israel, I actually got to visit the ruins of Capernaum. And there you could see the houses that were lined along a dusty lane, at least their foundations. You could see still how precisely laid were the smooth stones of the walls and the stairwells. There were a few cedar trees and tamarisk around. There were some succulents and desert flowers that flourished in pots placed here and there. It was a simple place. And yet it was amazing. And it wasn't far from there to the hillside, where people had actually gathered to hear Jesus' first public sermon, which is what we're talking about right now. And that hill flowed down to a very large lake. Now, that lake is much, much smaller than Lake Erie. And yet, people have always called it a sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is the setting where Jesus offered his first teachings to a group larger than could be confined to someone's home. And when you're sitting there on top of the hill and gazing down the slope to the shoreline, you can easily imagine thousands of people sitting around amidst the grasses and listening to what this teacher had to say. So many folks had actually come from far and wide to hear him on that very day. And you wonder, how could that be? The towns in the region are small, of the region are spread far and wide. They're also very small, often no more than 10, maybe 11 houses clustered around a central well. 60, 70 people living there. These villages make Duncan Falls and Roseville look huge in comparison. Anyway, according to chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel, Jesus and his disciples had traveled from village to town around the area so he could heal the sick and proclaim the good news where folks lived. Still, how did people know to come to hear him? I mean, did the disciples do some really wonderful marketing, like, you know, posters everywhere, so that everyone would know there was going to be a big rally by the sea on such and such a date? I don't know. But they came by the thousands. The event was a big deal. Village folk had already been amazed by his abilities. They probably wondered just what astounding words and acts would happen by the seaside. Now, the overwhelming majority of those gathered were pretty ordinary, simple folk. They had few possessions and far less power in society. So Jesus' first few sentences must have flowed like honey from a comb into their hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Thank God, they must have thought. Even the next phrases were well received, the ones in which Jesus blessed those who hunger for righteousness and are pure in heart or are peacemakers. After all, he was only reminding this very religious people of their roots. Most actively sought to live out these values, and so were ready to rejoice that they would be received in God's kingdom in exchange for Roman persecution. All well and good so far. But some probably became anxious and edgy when this preacher man began saying they were blessed to be harassed or insulted because of him. We heard those words last week, and those are hard words to hear, let alone rejoice over. Who wants to be shunned by others? Could it be that so much of the world stands against people of faith? Isn't at least part of the reason churches today are finding it difficult to grow? Aren't we being shunned? Like society then, society now often disagrees with our take on the world. Faithful folks like us tend to care about purity of heart and offering kindness and seeking righteousness for all people, right? Not that cultivating such characteristics are limited to Christians, but for the majority of the world, life is more all about taking as much as you can, no matter what the cost to others. You know what I mean. There is a deep darkness around us. Yeah. Yet the anger and selfishness, the distrust, the arrogance that are so abundant right now aren't a new phenomenon. These characteristics have cycled in and out of fashion for millennia. Yet living in such a climate can be quite demoralizing, especially when it's morals that the world is lacking. So it's no surprise the people of the Galilee region in Jesus' day were demoralized. But Jesus knew his listeners needed to be strengthened as if they were to make a go of a virtuous life. So he reminds them here of who they are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So salt. It's an interesting metaphor that we use all the time. And it may seem like a fairly ordinary substance. But these days, we use salt for 14,000 purposes. You know, it can help conduct electric charge or to de-ice roadways, right? And did you know it's an important catalyst in the making of paper? I didn't. And of course, we do know that it's found all over the world, the Great Salt Lake, the Dead Sea, all kinds of places out in the desert. And historically, demanding on where you see salt mentioned in Scripture, salt can signify loyalty, durability, permanence, even purification. It's very common. It's very malleable. The ancient Jews even used salt as a way to represent the irrevocable covenantal relationship between themselves and God. And when you think about it, salt is a rather remarkable thing. It's something our bodies and the world cannot do without. And the most interesting thing about it is that when it's used, that in which it is used changes. Meat and vegetables fail to rot. Think about sauerkraut and pickled pig's feet. Caramel and melons become sweeter. Water softens. Salt is a good and helpful substance that enhances the quality of life. You are the salt of the world. So what about light? Did you know the human eye can see the light of a single candle from miles and miles away on a moonless night? Well, maybe not in the city, but you know what I mean. And keeping a house or a church well lit at night reduces neighborhood crime. And consider the various qualities of light. November sunsets offer blue-tinged light bordered by mauves and pale pinks. But there's a blazing white brilliance to a July day. Light shimmers in the dryness of the desert, and it hangs in haze over Zanesville when we've had lots of rain. There was no light in the universe when it was first formed. God created it. And God did that before any other thing came into being. Without light, we cannot see. And as the quality of light changes, we come to see our surroundings in different ways. Depending on the light, our moods can shift from depression to elation, from exuberance to frosted. Some of us have even been known to speak of our spouses as the light of my life. Sounds lovely, yes? Being known in such a way lifts the spirit. Light changes our lives. So can you imagine how being told you are the light of the world must have felt for the folks gathered on that hillside? And given all the good salt can do, being told you are like that or light? Well, it's a big compliment. It also seems this traveling rabbi believes these people have the capacity to enhance the abundant life that God offers this world by being the light that leads others to God. But then, Jesus all but pulls back those compliments with jabs about salt losing its flavor, you know, and being trampled, not good for anything, and light being hidden from view by a basket. Or were these words spoken to remind the crowd of how easy it can be to reduce salt's potency by diluting it? To him, diluted spiritual weakness won't do, you know. God's children have been blessed, and those blessings are to be used in God's service. And if your light is hidden beneath a basket, the least harm that would happen would be that your capacity to illuminate life would be reduced to mere pinpricks. Even Longaberger baskets have pinpricks. No, God's gifts of life are not meant to be squandered away. What is it that Jesus said? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Simple words, but oh so challenging. How could these people on the hillside use their blessings in God's service and not be trampled by a world that didn't care or worse? You know, there's a Martin Scorsese film, perfect illustration now that I think about it, this being Oscar Day. But it remembers, and it's a few years old, a Christian persecution in the 17th century in Japan. It must have been very complicated for the new converts there to let their light shine. You see, they were often baptized and then discovered to be Christians by the rulers and drowned or otherwise tortured and put to death, even after they publicly turned from the faith. How does anyone let their light shine after that? How can anyone's spiritual saltiness not be diluted by all that anger and selfishness and arrogance and distrust? Five words. Pray. Fast. Praise. Worship. Serve. Quietly, if need be. Continue to love mercy, to act with meek humility, even when provoked. Make peace between those who stand apart. Live simply. My friends, it doesn't matter when you live. Society will disagree with your faith and darkness will collapse around you. We all live amidst sin, right? And it's then that you too need to remember those gentle hillsides along the Galilee, the sunlight of the day, the blue sky, the green grass, the water that glistens. And it's then you'll need to hear Jesus' simple, strengthening words. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And remember, like the faithful of all ages, you have been blessed.
Let us stand as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 14. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived
by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.